The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all of Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do you presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor'? For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn in unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. You can tell some of these children are used to be running around all over up here. Okay. It's hard to pick up what you want out of the treasure box. It really is. So it's mostly candy. I know. It is mostly candy. And I send them off to be with their parents after they get candy. So, all right. We are definitely in the second week of Advent. And as we said, our candle this morning represents peace. I think somebody is missing their parent. From our gospel reading from Matthew, we hear John the Baptist crying out this, "You brood of vipers!" I've always wanted to say that to congregation. Now, it doesn't really, but it does it give you a peaceful feeling? Of, you know, being called a viper, yeah, which means really a snake, right? Yeah, a viper is a snake. You bunch of snakes. Now, I've actually heard of a priest call a congregation a brood of vipers. It was his last Sunday, and it was not a nice parting, let me tell you. But it doesn't give you that peace feeling. Founded in Paul's letter in Philippians, he lifts up peace that surpasses all understanding, a concept that describes a deep resilience, a sense of inner calm. What the kids were talking about, it goes beyond human comprehension, a peace that is not dependent on one's circumstances, but is a gift from God to provide spiritual security, guarding our hearts and our minds, and offers a profound sense of well-being and trust, even in the face of not such peaceful times. Peace is, for me, is a kind of a total contentment, a feeling of not caring of what's going on in the world necessarily, no fear, no anxiety, just kind of perfect calm and joy. It's a place where I'm afraid I don't get to experience a whole lot of it in this world, but I long for that. Maybe you do, too. That peace. A couple weeks ago, when Johnny and I were on our cruise, I got a little glimpse of peace as we were sitting, as I was sitting on our balcony on the far back of the ship. Our balcony was like right over the engines, you know, because we were at the back of the ship. And with the noise from the propellers moving us forward sounded to me like waves crashing on the shore. Now, it was just me. Some people thought it was noisy, but I liked it. As I would sit on the balcony, sometimes sipping my tea, listening to the sound of waves, I had a sense of kind of calm come over me as I looked out over the vast expanse of ocean. So much so that one time I closed my eyes and I actually fell asleep sitting upright in a chair. That's pretty hard to do in most cases. For me, it's almost impossible. And I remember waking up and feeling really relaxed. But then the world came back in. And I stood up and I was looking out over my balcony at the ship, and I turned to my right to see, looking around the divider between our balcony and the room next door, which was on the edge of the ship. And they had a wraparound balcony, and they had lounge chairs on their balcony. Lounge chairs. Can you imagine the nap I could have gotten on a lounge chair? And they were never out there. Every time I would go over and look, they were never using their balcony. What a waste. I was coveting their lounge chairs, but I almost wanted to crawl across and use their lounge chairs, but that was, you know, I didn't do that. At this time of year, I also find peace sometimes looking at the ornaments on our Christmas tree. Now, for me, we don't do the color, you know, coordination of the year. We have collected ornaments over the last 30-some years, and they represent places we visited or happenings in our life with our children and us. And it just gives me a peace when I remember those things. There's something about the past that attracts each of us, a deep in every human heart, a desire to repeat experiences maybe from the past. There's a hope of recovering that thrill and the excitement and the joy and peace of days long ago. Just for a moment, we can remember how it used to be. We can experience again that special joy or peace. The things in our lives that cause us to yearn for that peace is also a deep spiritual truth. Deep within our human memory, I believe God has put a picture of reality for us that no longer exists. Although none of us have ever lived in paradise, in Eden, we cannot escape that memory that seems to be in the place in our minds because we haven't forgotten it. There is a time and a place so long ago, so far removed from us today, that the people of the Bible called Eden, you remember the story of Adam and Eve in Eden, where life was very different than looked for us today. Well, you know, because we wear clothes today, you know, that was one of the differences. But it was a time of innocence. It was a time of true peace. There was no struggle between people or nations, no anger, no hatred, no animosity. There was no mistrust between animals and man, and no fear of animals or anything that God created. Maybe it never truly existed, but it does make us stop and think and long for something like that. It's a time of harmony. Each part of creation had its place. Even bugs. I understand bugs could have a place in God's kingdom. Maybe not today, but some place in God's kingdom. But we long for that. And it was all put together to accomplish the purpose and goals for God. Then Eden was lost. The scriptures tell us of that lost in the story of Adam and Eve and the serpent and the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden. And when the story ends, everything is different. Adam and Eve are ashamed of their humanness and anger and hostility and mistrust between humans and humans and between humans and animals regain supreme. Adam and Eve are removed from paradise, and the special place of peace and harmony was lost. As far removed as we are from that innocence, peace and harmony, marred and damaged the picture may be, that memory still lingers with us, deep in our memories. The words of the prophet Isaiah that he spoke today helps us remember that memory that we have deep in our conscience or unconscious. The Living Bible paraphrases Isaiah 11 this way: "In that day, the wolf and the lamb will lie down together. The leopard and the goats will be at peace. The calves and the fat cattle will be safe among lions. And a little child shall lead them all. The cows will graze among the bears. Cubs and calves will lie down together. And lions will eat grass like the cows. Babies will crawl safely among poisonous snakes. And a little child who puts his hand in a nest of deadly adders will pull it out unharmed. Nothing will hurt or destroy on my holy hill. For the waters fill the sea, so shall the earth be full in the knowledge of the Lord." I love that passage. I'm a kind of an animal person, so I couldn't find one about bugs in the Old Testament. I'm sorry, Hunter. But I love that animal story of living in peace together and among humanity. What a different world that is from ours, isn't it? What a glorious hope those words represent. The prophet Isaiah tells us this peace shall become a reality. It'll occur when the shoot springs up from the chopped down tree of the house of David the king. A new branch will appear from the roots of the stump, and it shall mark the beginning of a new age. Isaiah lived in a century when it was clearly evident that King David's dynasty was passing away. The Hebrew people and the nation would split. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah lasted nearly 200 years, but during this time, they fought against one another, brother against brother. They would step across their borders, make treaties, and then break them. Sound familiar? It's what we live in today. Then the heavy punishment of God from the east came in with the Assyrian armies, and the northern kingdom was swept away in the tides of history and the vengeance of God. And the ungodly armies came to the very gates of the holy city of God, Jerusalem. And the troops looked upon the holy city and the temple with vengeance and destruction. Many Hebrews of the time could see and know that the future of the tree, which was the house and the lineage of David, was doomed. It would soon be cut down. The prophet Isaiah spoke for God about God's plan when he saw that a branch would come forth out of what was cut down. It was a branch which would change the old nature of that tree. It would come with a new age and humankind. It was a wonder that the followers of Jesus of Nazareth would realize the meaning and impact of his life on his life and ministry, and they saw him as that branch, that shoot of Jesse. Jesus' roots were deep in the soil of Judaism, but the leaves on his tree, they were so different. The fruit on his tree bore such little resemblance from the fruit of the old tree. To those disciples, eventually, it became clear that Jesus, born in the manger and dying on the hillside, was a banner for the world that paradise was reborn and reestablished. Jesus was able to withstand the force of evil and the powers of destruction and death. Jesus, the new branch, overflowed with personal and intimate relationship with the God of creation, with the God of Eden. The Galilean would walk with God, talk with God, commune with God, and most importantly, he would teach his followers to do the same. No wonder this Christmas is so marvelous. No wonder that Advent is such an important group of Sundays for us. We are getting ready for the one who brings in a new world. Jesus brings us hope and the peace that surpasses all understanding. It is a peace that tells us that fear and hatred and disease and war that we see happening in our world today is not where we were intended to live. No, we are created to live in perfect harmony and peace with God and with all of that God has created. Jesus' birth, life, and death has cleared the way for us for this peace. To pet a lion like I would pet my dog, I look forward to that. This is the peace God offers to us through Jesus. You may not see it before we pass on from this world to be with God, but we will see it. That is the promise of Isaiah. That is the promise of Jesus. Where is your peaceful place? If I'm truly honest with myself, probably the most peaceful place I can find is looking at the risen cross, the risen Jesus on the cross, and looking out of God's creation right here in this church. It's a special place where we can feel God's peace and beauty all in one place. Take some time in this busy time of year to reconnect with the peace that only God can give us. And my hope is that this peace will carry you through the times in our lives that may be not so peaceful. We all experience things in our life that are not peaceful, but God is there to give us that peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen.